Yeah, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Daily Digest with JBD Sons, brought to you by Amstel Malta. Now, when I have a naughty legal issue that I don't understand, there are one or two lawyers that I call. The first, my first choice always is my very good friend, Yemi Candid Johnson, SAN. And I had told you when this Umahi controversy came about, before the apology, that I was going to call, you know, invite him to give us his usual lecture on the law. Good morning, Yemi. How are you doing?
Good morning, Jimmy.
It's a pity I'm not wearing my own Castro shirt today, but we are still in Ashwebi in terms of color. Gray, you know.
That's good, enough. Start.
Good start. But you know, next time I'll make sure I wear my Castro shirt. By the way, before we go into the issue at hand, I was just wondering, yesterday we had the benefit of seeing the lady standing trial for murder of that TV man, the Chidinma, you know, Ojukwu. And she took part in a beauty contest in the prison, and she won and became the beauty queen 2022. No, yeah, 2022. And my mind is so much on 2023, I think we're already inside it. I felt uncomfortable, but Libros was able to, you know, put me through certain things yesterday. And then the PRO of the prison said that, look, they did this thing for the inmates. An inmate is an inmate, you know, whether you're on trial or not. And then she took part. And but I'm just wondering, if you were her lawyer, would you have, and she had asked your opinion, would you have told her, you know, given her the go-ahead to participate, or told her that, look, you don't need all that attention on you for now. Let's face your trial. I'm just thinking.
Yes, of course, she's accused. She hasn't been convicted.
Yes.
70% of the people in our prisons are awaiting trial and are being victimized by the fact that without any conviction, they're being held as if they were condemned.
Hmm.
But if I was defending a criminal accused, especially one accused of such a heinous crime, I would avoid publicity, which was bad publicity, as much as possible.
Mm.
The frivolity and the licentiousness of a beauty contest is something that I think would be harmful to the public impression of a woman in that situation. Mm. I certainly would have asked her to avoid it. I would consider her to be now the victim of exploitation within the prison, because when your beauty contest, of course, is a frivolous event. And it's part of the sexualized...
It was to celebrate International Women's Day.
Well, it's part of the idea of using a beauty contest to celebrate International Women's Day, I find, frankly, quite offensive. It's commoditization and victimization of women.
Hmm.
And that's what it is. It's a glorification of the puerile and passion, the desires of men. I think I would consider to have been victimized by being displayed in this way.
Mm. I also said to Libros, in line with what you said, I said, I'm sure could the judge be affected by a thing like this in reality?
Absolutely. I mean, if you, it's going to create passions and in respect of that individual, which one cannot predict, but which would have an impact on how she's viewed, even by someone who has to judge her as a witness of fact.
Hmm.
So I think it's damaging to her case. I think that I would be very surprised if she thought it was in her benefit, or anybody advising her legally thought it was in her benefit, to go into such a contest and have this, what is adverse publicity, at a time when she needs to be establishing her innocence.
Yeah, and also, if we were to look at it holistically, I wonder in what state of mind the family of the victim, I mean, whether we like it or not, even though we haven't found her guilty, but he's dead.
Yes, so that's the aspect.
And that can be infuriating.
Of course. So altogether, it's bad business as far as I'm concerned.
Do you think that the prison authorities should have thought of things like this and keep it to those who are actual convicts?
Sure, absolutely. And why should this receive publicity? Why should this be a matter that they think is worth being ventilated in the public? I can understand you need to keep them entertained, you need to keep them engaged, they're human beings who are in prison. But this is damaging. The escape of this information and the images associated with it, I think, is damaging.
You saw the photograph?
Yes, I saw a photograph of, well, I assume it was the lady who was wearing some sort of crown.
Yes, she was one.
So
yes.
That's my guess. I wouldn't have been able to identify her otherwise. And that, I think, is most regrettable.
I don't want to offend you further by asking if you thought she was pretty anyway.
I'm not really so sure what pretty means. But if you were to define it, I would try to approximate that to the features that were displayed in that picture.
Yes. You had a good look, huh?
I hope that's a good enough answer.
I said you had a good look.
No, but I would if you asked me to. If tested, I would certainly look at the picture. Yeah.
Oh, dear. Okay, let's get down to proper business today. Yemi Candy Johnson, SAN, is here. And we want to look at the Umahi case. I think I'll take it from the one I found most offensive, and that was the reaction of the governor, which thankfully he's tried to retract, but the damage has been done. You know, sometimes when you try to retract these things, I think it's an exercise in futility. The damage has been done. But what do you think of that? Where I said yesterday that if we continue to react to every judgment in such a manner, then the average person is bound to lose confidence in the judiciary. As it is, that's what it is now anyway. The thinking of most people is that you can buy judgments. Well, we have judgments going all the way up to the Supreme Court, you know, in public debate and public reactions, especially in parties involved. Shouldn't we do something to correct that anomaly, where, whether ethically or otherwise, where it says that, look, if you're involved in a case, you can have an appeal and so on and so forth, but to express that kind of opinion in public, it should be sanctioned. Couldn't he, for example, have been charged for contempt?
Yes, that's the short answer to the question. He could be charged for contempt because contempt is conduct which interferes in the administration of justice. It's conduct which interferes in the administration of justice, and we all have an obligation in a liberal democratic society to preserve the rule of law and the structures of our justice system. That responsibility belongs to members of the public, but it belongs first of all to judges themselves, those in whose hands the administration of justice is entrusted by law and the Constitution. Now, I know there's a great deal of alarm about what this governor said, and prima facie, on the face of it, it's contempt of court. But on the other hand, if he's right, then it would be something that needed to be said. You cannot, under the guise of a device that is intended to protect the integrity of the administration of justice, allow the integrity of the system of justice to be subverted by other people. So if I was advising him, I would say, do you have information to support these allegations? If you've done so, I would consider that to be a defense.
Wouldn't that be risky if you were then... if you knew within your heart that it was right?
I don't understand the question.
You missed the moment.
Yes.
Okay. I said that. You said you would want him to come show some proof and so on and so forth. You'd be able to do that if you were sure of where you stood.
Sure, of course.
So if you are not too sure, you might have to let it slide.
Yeah, look, you can't make allegations in public which you cannot sustain. This is for an ordinary man. More so a person who is a chief executive of a state, he holds a position of very serious responsibility. And therefore, every remark he makes, which will have a consequence for the public, and indeed, it's a bigger impact on the system of justice if a governor says that there's corruption in the judiciary, than if an ordinary man says so. And so he should have the sense of responsibility and the maturity to be able to measure his words. It's often said that it's intelligence to know what to say. It's wisdom to know when to say it. And I think that one would expect wisdom from a governor. But of course, this may well be a far-fetched proposition in many instances.
Why do you think the judge went quiet on it and then it took the president of the NBA, you know, to call the governor to caution?
It's not for judges to defend themselves in public.
I see.
This is a fact.
Could he have reported him to the police? I mean, okay, fine. He has immunity.
Yes.
So it makes it a little bit more, makes it a bit messy. But if it had been somebody like me or like you or whatever, would the judge be in a position to say, go get this person arrested? What are the channels he would have to go through?
You know, a judge should vindicate the law. He should defend the law. he should defend the administration of justice against those who would undermine it, whoever they are. Mm. And there are an array of devices to achieve that. But that the individual judge himself has to have confidence both in his knowledge of the law and in his own integrity.
Exactly.
Because you open a can of worms for. I'll tell you an interesting story. Many years ago, I don't know whether young people will not remember, but it was quite an issue at the time, in respect of my own father, who, as you know, was a judge.
Okay.
And in the course of a case, I can't remember what case it was, Professor Bio Nwabuese, who is the constitutional, some people regard him as a big constitutional, sent an article or a letter to the court, private to the judge. It was delivered, giving advice on the conduct of a case. This was contempt. I think it was on a Friday. On a Monday, in the case of my father, he ordered show cause I shouldn't be committed to prison for contempt.
Ah.
It became a big issue. Lots of pleas, forgive. He had to come before the court, humble himself, explain his conduct. He had no intention, apologize to the court. But he was brought to the court within 48 hours to show cause why he should not be committed for contempt. Now, that's because the judge had confidence in his own knowledge of law, in his own integrity, and he had the ability to contain the dignity and power of his court. The danger, beyond Umahi's outburst and the consequences to him or to the system of justice, is the type of decisions we're receiving from courts these days, which do a great deal more to undermine confidence in the integrity and soundness of our system of justice.
There's so many things. If you're not a lawyer, you can't follow these things. There was a court case in Abakaliki that said this and this. These various judgments that we have, which would be sacrosanct amongst them, one. Two, if judgment has been given in a case on an issue, would it be right for another judge to take it on?
Again, the simple answer is no. And you identify, therefore, the problem of inconsistency of judgments and decisions by courts across the country. It has become so rampant and so reckless that the integrity of the system of justice is being undermined. The authority and credibility of judges is at an all-time low. So what are the facts that we know of the present case? One judge gave a decision. I happen to think the judge who gave the decision in the Federal High Court is a man who has sound judicial knowledge. So I'd like to read his judgment and see what was his reasoning. I wouldn't dismiss it out of hand. There had been a previous decision which seemed similar in another state, Zamfara State, where the same facts seemed to have produced a different result. And subsequent to that, another judge in Abakaliki, within the territorial domain of the judge, of the governor, has issued a very peculiar decision purporting to set aside the decision of the Federal High Court and characterizing his decision as what he called, in legal jargon, a judgment in rem. This creates a whole range of problems. The inconsistency, as I said, damages the reputation and credibility of the justice system across the board. The fact that it is easy for lawyers, senior lawyers even, senior advocates of Nigeria. In Abakaliki, they said they had assembled 17 SANs, whatever that means. It's not about numbers. It's about the quality of your thinking and your knowledge of law. And they have been able to procure, and I use that word advisedly, to procure at short notice from a judge an order which on its face seems frivolous and futile, suggests to me, again, that there is a poison and a decay in the heart of our justice system, which judges and senior lawyers conspire to exploit, especially in respect to political cases. I found the judgment, the latest decision from the Abakaliki court, to be almost farcical. And if it wasn't so sad, I would be laughing.
Yeah, don't laugh. Because they'll have to rain into of us. What is this? This is an aside, but I had an argument with Madame here. We had a discussion yesterday about this idea of getting 17 sands. What does it do to your case?
Well, if you want them to vote in an election, the numbers helps. But I think that
idea of appearing with 17...
saying you have 17 sands, it's childish. It's a stunt which has no legal benefit. It's you know, in the good old days, if someone said Chief Williams was appearing in a case,
yes,
you knew there was going to be law, there was going to be gravity, there was going to be deep and penetrating analysis.
Yes.
Now you can get a string because there is a high number of senior advocates available. And I guess if you join a team of 17 SCNs to argue a case like this, you may not be as busy as one would have thought a senior advocate of Nigeria should be.
Okay, on the average, what does it cost to get a senior advocate to court? On the average, we're not asking how much you charge.
It's impossible to.
Don't worry, the LIRS.
It's impossible to.
No, but it's something between what and what?
Something between 100 naira and multiples of that sum.
Oh, no. I was boasting here yesterday.
Many SCNs work for free.
Oh, really?
Of course, in cases. I mean, I'm doing a number of cases in which there's no.
But those are pro bono cases.
Sure.
And they might not. But if a governor put a call through to you to be part of 17 governors.
Well, I would be very anxious if a governor called me, because my first anxiety would be that I didn't want to participate in the laundering of money that had been obtained unlawfully.
Oops.
I mean, when you have a case, and I've heard of cases where they're paying somebody half a billion naira. If a government official is paying that money, there's a 90% chance that money has been corruptly obtained. And that you are part of a money laundering operation. So I wouldn't be willing to put that money in my bank account.
I won't use the word operation. I'd rather use enterprise.
Yes, criminal enterprise. That's what is a criminal conspiracy.
Our lines are open, 0700-993-993-993, and the other line, 0146571190. At the appropriate time, we'll open up the line, so get ready. You know, I watched about 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, you were interviewed by Channels. About 4 or 5 years ago, anyway. And you made a point that stuck in my mind, to say that it is becoming unfortunate that to settle political issues, we always now have to head to the court. Because what the court decides are the legal issues, but the will of the people in terms of the numbers might not be taken into consideration at such time. So we are now winning elections in the court.
Yes.
You remember that statement?
Yes. Remember you made that statement made before, yes.
Yes. And nothing has changed since then. How do we go around that?
Well, it is a problem. The purpose of elections is to test the opinion of the people. And I was reading an academic article earlier this year which started with the declaration that some politicians prepare to win the vote and some politicians simply get a good lawyer, good quote-unquote.
And look for technicalities.
And look for a judge that will give them the case. Now, that is such a violent subversion of the democratic system that it destabilizes it. Because if people recognize that their opinion doesn't count, they have no reason to show any deference to those in political power. And across liberal democracies in the world, there is a settled principle that courts defer to the political process. It is not usual for courts to intervene and to decide political contests. If there's a legal problem with it, then the people should have the opportunity once more to express them. The test should be, has the will of the people been captured here? Do we know this to be the expression of their will? If that's the case, then it would be, in my opinion, very dangerous to subvert the will of the people under the guise of any sort of legal device.
Yeah, because in this case, the judge is of the view that the votes that were cast for the PDP, not necessarily for the candidate. How do we determine that?
Well, that's a difficult question on which our courts have given some pronouncements. In the case of Amaechi, the Supreme Court said the votes belong to the party.
The party.
In another case, they said it belongs to the individual. Our electoral law is really has gone through so many stages and iterations, and they're trying to correct various issues. But fundamental to the legitimacy of all elections is what was the will of the people and has it been expressed freely and fairly? That is the question. Now, I cannot understand personally, from a personal logical standpoint, how a party presents a candidate and that candidate can be substituted. It seems to me that you ask somebody to be your flag bearer which means it is in his own name that he carries your flag. But your party cannot be a candidate in an election. It has to be an individual. Voters vote for an individual. The party merely indicates to them what to expect from him. What are the policies? What is the manifesto and agenda? And who are the people he associates with? Can we trust them? But it's the individual who is on the ballot who you vote for. So I find it very difficult if I vote for Jimmy Disu as candidate of the PDP and someone says, well, he's no longer in the PDP. That is a moral and a political question. It means that the political process should deal with how to punish him for dumping his party. Mm-hmm. It's not a legal matter because he has been properly elected and the Constitution provides a limited number of means by which a governor may be removed from office. This declaration made by this judge, as I said, I haven't read the judgment, and there may be some brilliant exposition which has not occurred to many constitutional scholars before, and I give him that, the benefit of the doubt. But that is the problem. A man has been elected. Whether he changes whether he changes his political affiliation or not is a political rather than a legal issue.
Wow. Well, one issue here is I got to take a break.
Yes, okay.
I got to take a break. That's where my next Cuban shirt is coming from. I've been talking to Yemi Kati Johnson SA and talking about a few legal issues here and there. We'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll take one or two of your calls and then we'll continue the discussion. Don't go away.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
This is Daily Digest with Jimmy Disson.
That's what is this one? Yeah, you're welcome back to the Daily Digest with Jimmy Disu, and this program is brought to you courtesy Amstel Malta. Okay, and I have Mr. Yemi Kandi Johnson, S-A-N, in the studio. Our lines are buzzing, so let me take my first caller. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, ma. How are you?
This very well, thank you. This is Bumi, and I'm calling from Ekota. I just have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Based on what the last thing your guest said,
yes.
If we vote for candidates who represent parties, therefore it's the that gets the position. Why do we vote party symbol? Doesn't that suggest that it is the party we're voting for?
That's a good one. Did you hear what she said?
Sure.
Yes.
It's a matter of mechanics. The simple question, it's worthy of analysis and discussion. Mm. But the fact is that every party must present a candidate. So the contemplation of the law is that the person who will occupy the position is a human being. And one human being must be different from the other. This is why if you decide to put Jimmy Disu in one of the parties, you would vote because of him. What it is, candidates, you campaign on the platform of a party.
Of a party.
That is the agenda of a party. But the office can only be held by an individual. And although I think that is a problem, that you don't see the candidates, the way our elections in Nigeria are organized, you're seeing party symbols,
yes,
and you can't exercise a judgment. But then the campaign is about human beings. So I can see where the confusion would arise.
Don't you think it's a bit of a mix?
Mm.
I remember back 15 years ago, 180 PC back Wajale, Wadibovon, which, yes, without even knowing who he was or who it is, you know, I think it's a bit of...
There's some constituencies in England where if they put a dog, the Tory candidate will be returned.
Yes.
And there's some constituencies where the Labour Party will be returned even if he's a sheep.
Yes.
That is clear. But it is still an individual. The structure of all democracies and governments means that regardless of platform, it is individuals who occupy offices. So you cannot, however you organize election, you cannot divorce the holding of an office from the individual. And once people have expressed a preference for an individual, it's difficult for you to then say, well, he represents the party. That is a political rather than a legal issue.
Mm.
I expect that if you decamp from your party, you should face a political price. I'm just not sure that that price should be exacted by the legal process. Not just because it's problematical conceptually, but also because it then brings the judges directly into determining the choice of voters for particular offices. This is not their function, and it is damaging to the efficiency and effectiveness of the judiciary.
Okay, let's get another one before I then... I need to ask you one or two things as a Lagosian. Hello, good morning. Hello? Oh, we lost that one. Hello?
Hello, sir. Abajimi, good morning, sir.
Morning.
I greet the legal editor. Alabala is my name.
Yes.
Yes.
Abajimi,
I have a question for the legal head. But
yes.
Before I ask my question, sir, that is why some of us, we are calling for independent candidacy. So this issue of party or no party, at the end of the day, we'll not be sore our hand, or somebody will not be controlling us, or some people will not say they are the owner of the party. So we are clamoring for independent candidacy. And then my question is this, sir. What if... Are you there, sir?
We are listening to you.
So my question is this, sir. What if... I'm just assuming. What if APC lose Mboyin? What will now happen to Edo, Benue, Sokoto, and then one other state again? So
okay.
That is my question. Good morning.
Okay, he's asking that the precedence of what is happening in what would happen to the likes of Obaseki decamped before the election.
Correct.
So it won't hold water.
Wouldn't affect that.
Yeah.
But then there's a problem. He asked the question is valid because there's an inconsistency in the approach of courts to this issue, and what will happen? It can only be somebody's guess, because it is a fundamental of our judicial system that like cases should be decided alike. This is a principle that has been expressed 2,400 years ago. Aristotle expressed that principle, because the people in any political society need to be able to predict what will be the result of their actions. So they should go to law and just say, well, look, the last five cases, this is how a court decided it. So therefore, regulate your behavior according to this guidance. But if we get to the situation which we have in Nigeria, where any type of decision is possible, you're going to have high instability in the political and governance process because people don't know how to behave. You're going to have a high tendency to corrupt individuals because there will be motivations other than law and logic to deciding legal questions. And you will have a total derogation from the quality, the standard that you expect from judges, and the judicial system will be brought into disrepute. It's very dangerous.
Okay, I can't resist not asking you this, being a Lagosian. and it must be of great concern to you, the development in the NURTW. I mean, it's not a legal matter,
yes,
but I know as a senior Lagosian, you'd have your opinion on it, and I think it's time most of us at least voiced our opinion on what's going on, for or against, as the case might be. So what is your take on this, the ban? Is it a ban? Yes, the ban on LURTW activities, blah, blah, and what you think the development might be. Remember, let me background you a little bit. It is being said in certain quarters that this gentleman wants to form a parallel union. Okay? In fact, it's so funny that his presence was so large that I didn't even know there was a national union anyway. I thought he was just the overall boss of everything. So it turns out that he wants to form a parallel union. The legality of that, I don't know. You might have to call the Attorney General to sort that out with him. But where does that take us, this development where, to put it in the safest way with you, in case I go to court, I'll have you to defend me, people who should be of interest to our security forces now
I love the guardedness of your remarks.
Yeah,
you have referred to a gentleman, and I assume that expression gentleman is used liberally and
well, and sometimes you have to be liberal in these cases,
right.
Yes,
right. Well, so if assuming this hypothetical scenario that a gentleman wished to form an association with or without some people That is a right guaranteed by the Constitution. The Constitution guarantees freedom of association, and any individual, gentleman or not, should be free to form whatever association that he chooses.
Even if it's a union?
Well, there's a law that regulates unions.
Unions, yes. I thought about that,
sure,
too.
So if you comply, for example, if you want to form a political party, if you're in the APC or PDP and you want to form a party called Dancing Girls Party,
sure, go ahead.
If you fulfill the requirements, you can do so. If you want to incorporate a company, you fulfill the legal requirements, you do so. So from that perspective, any individual can form, unform, dissemble, assemble any series of associations. But with respect to specific individuals, and if we're talking about associations which impact on the public and whose behavior may be disruptive to public peace and order, then even the capacity of an individual who should be of interest to security forces or to police being involved in such an association is something which I think the law would not tolerate. And I think that is a matter that is worthy of investigation.
Even if he has police protection?
Well, you see, this again is a problem. There are a lot of Nigerians who hold no office, who are not in any particular danger, who are guarded by the police.
Yes.
This is dangerous to the capacity of police to detect and investigate crime. Very often, therefore, what will happen is that crimes will be committed under the gaze of the police who have been delegated to protect these individuals, and the police themselves become complicit.
Why has it suddenly become so rampant? You know, and I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. You go to a function these days,
yes,
everybody has one or two policemen, yes, or policewomen, as the case may be.
Sometimes carrying rice for them.
Carrying rice.
Well, I think that these days, police escorts are a fashion accessory.
Yes.
So
I like the way you put it.
So if you're trendy and you're leading, you need to have a police following you behind.
And a PA.
Sure, exactly. I heard a former Inspector General of Police say at a public meeting recently that these are poorly trained and poorly equipped operatives, and that they're not there to provide security, and that if the VIP, quote unquote, was in danger, they would be the first to run.
So definitely.
So it's a fashion accessory.
Definitely.
It's a fashion accessory. You want to show you're a big person. It's ridiculous. It's embarrassing. I consider it to be shameful. And it's unlawful.
It's unlawful?
Of course it's unlawful. Why is a policeman dedicated? There are 1,000 crimes in the city. The police can't be found to investigate, prosecute them, which is their function. But the principal function of police is as social and fashion accessories to the social, political elite, including gangs of criminals. There are criminal operators in Nigeria who would appear to be operating with the ceremonial protection of law enforcement.
Law enforcement. How on the social front, the police is funded by public money.
Correct.
Taxes collected and so on and so forth.
Right.
Now, so on the social front, you're collecting taxes from the many,
yes,
and providing protection only for the few.
Sure.
And I'm being nice about it, putting it that way, or else I'd be talking about the poor and the rich.
You can't. If a crime occurs on this street, you're likely to find no ordinary police. There are no police walking on the streets. There's no foot patrols. But if there's a big man living on this street, maybe one of his mobile police may come out and intervene in the matter. I've seen this happen a lot. I mean, as I said, every jumped up Jacko who has more than a few hundred thousand naira can get told me recently what they consider to be the you pay this person, you pay that, right, and then you supply this thing. It's the process prescribed for getting police protection is a criminal conspiracy.
So how do we break this boogie completely around?
Yes.
Look at the videos or some events. I don't know if you spy talk once in a while. I know you're a busy person. I don't know, but if you look at the social events, you know, almost every Tom, Dick, Harry, whatever,
yes,
has one or two policemen behind, yes, them, like carrying rice and bath, providing umbrellas.
And picking up empty notes from the floor.
From the floor, yes, where people dance on it.
By some lunatic.
I thought there was a law against spraying.
Of course there is. But then, if you look at, and I've seen those videos of people throwing money all over the floor and jumping up and down on it, it's against the law. But then, police are guarding those people. If you want to commit a crime in there, you're best to have it
the policeman in tow.
Yes, to give you official guy. It's not a crime anymore.
I'm not happy with the Lagos State Government on an issue I'm going to talk about now. Okay. They've been put it. Last week, there was, and some lady was given, that was it, about 20 liters of fuel, those who came.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, created. The place has been sealed up, but today's Friday. They haven't identified the person to us. Somebody was telling me that in their own chat group, some lawyers were saying that she didn't commit it. Do you believe that? You saw the video.
Yes, and like that, the individual who's being called a title by a traditional ruler. There again, the whole, there's so many issues that are raised up by this sort of issue. Some unruh who obviously has money to buy expensive things and to give him scarcity is ennobled by some minor king somewhere. And to celebrate this, she goes to media, identifies herself, and therefore she has been the beneficiary of widespread public abuse,
yeah,
and opprobrium, which is well deserved, in my opinion. It shows frivolity of public spaces. It shows the trifling type of individuals who give attention and prominence in that space. It says a lot about the society, that this is the sort of people which we should be talking about. Fortunately, I can't remember the name. Some information clogging up point without in my head. As I tell someone, one of the most important lessons I learned was someone in T20, and he says that if somebody wastes 10 minutes of your time, 8 minutes is yours.
I guess so.
After 2 minutes, just irrelevant individuals. But I feel like a crime was committed. I think that an infallible material into a confined space must breach of the health and safety regulations of any public space. And I cannot identify offhand what law was infringed, but certainly both the and the individual who put at risk.
I'm just angry with the government, especially this gentleman, that he always shows restraint on the law, drug laws, environmental laws.
It's not the same gentleman or this gentleman that we're talking about. It's a different gentleman. There's so many in Lagos State.
So this
gentleman is the one who occupies the seat of government.
He's the one that lives close to the water.
Okay.
It's not his boss.
Okay. One isn't really sure. This gentleman.
He's not totally number one, but he's close.
Okay. I wasn't aware.
He's close enough.
Right.
I think that it's important that I'm worried about where our society is going, and I'm also talking to you not just as a lawyer, but as a citizen of our country.
Right.
And we're watching our environment being debased by so many new values that you can't put your finger on.
Yes.
Who does that? To use the words of my good friend, Ditoa Egodalo, who does that? The jerry can of petrol at a party, jerry cans of petrol at a party. Even if it was that you owned the first station, you had fuel, you wanted to give it out, why didn't you give them vouchers?
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
It's irresponsible. And there again, it shows the low quality of thinking and of individuals who are being projected in that public space.
But it's quite prevalent these days.
Well, there you go.
And it's worrying where you would have, sorry to bring this up again, youngsters defecating in public and eating it just because they want to have money.
Oh, I hadn't heard that one.
Oh, yes, there was that. There was another one to the world. I should send this on this TikTok.
Honestly, I'm being saved from a lot of information that would clog up my thinking.
You will not be. That's the problem. I wish I was a lawyer instead of doing this media job.
There's more money in media than in law.
There's no money. Look at now. I would. Now I can declare your assets here.
Well, I have a phone.
I can declare. No. We are not talking of the visible. how much do you think it is to bring this gentleman? If you have a case, you go there to to Akokogba card. You have to pay to see him. Do you have an idea how much it costs?
If it's Jimmy Dizu, you can see it's free. So,
Dr. Ayeni, did you go to Casey?
No,
you did. Okay, Dr. Ayeni, I was joking yesterday that to the doctors, they're better at it. Mm. You have to get a card to see a doctor.
Mm.
You don't do cards.
Mm.
But to answer that phone call, I can jolly well imagine. Okay, let's take one or two more calls, and then we'll, what's the time? 9:46. Please, when you call from a quiet place, okay, and switch off the radio. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning, Uncle Jimmy.
Morning, sir. Who's calling?
Yes, my name is Ife.
Ife?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I just want to quickly say one or two things.
Go on, just go on.
Your guest in the studio has said a lot of things. But concerning...
Can you move away from those kids, please? Baba Koko, move away from them.
Sorry.
Yes.
Concerning the judgment about the governor that defected. I think I have had his take on it, and I think that is his own interpretation of the law.
Okay.
I respect him. I know him very well. I know his background. But I think that if that is the case, if that, there will be definitely be other interpretations of that law.
I mean, that's obvious. Yes.
Yes. First of all, when somebody becomes a governor, he does not become not a partner.
Yes.
So, the platform that brought him to that party, I mean, to that position, is a part of the society that he is going to be a governor, and that is the essence of the party manifesto.
Okay.
The logo.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
So, I think he's not very wrong to me. I mean, right to me.
Okay. You want to react to that? Thank you very much. Please let's make it clear that you have a minute, so try and compact your thoughts. And you can cut it off by saying good morning and whatever. You can cut off all the time saying, I want to just go straight and give your point, so you have a bit more time to express yourself. You want to react to him?
Well, no, it's a fair opinion.
It's a fair opinion.
Has his own perspective.
Yes.
But another point I would add is that people who vote for a governor are not only party members. So he already said it himself.
Yes.
You have voted as governor of a state. Your mandate is entirely different from the party mandate that you took to the polls. Once the polls are over, you hold the office for everybody, not for your party. That should be obvious.
Okay. All right. Hello. Good morning. You're pulling the crowd here. Look at that. Hello. Morning.
Good morning.
Morning, sir.
Yeah, my name is Shego. I'm sorry. I'm calling from Ikeja.
Ah, this is the lawyer, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I remember you. How are you?
I'm very fine, sir. You?
Well, I'm hanging in there. I'm suffering, though. I'm hungry.
I'm not
a son.
Good morning, Leonard Silk.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, good to hear from you this morning. And may I quickly chip in my opinion? To my mind, for me, the votes are strictly for the individual. And I will say this. A party is an artificial person. A human being is a natural person. In other crimes, we have independent candidates. It's not possible to vote for a party without a candidate. For me, that's a clear distinction in my mind. And I think that, like, I agree entirely with what they're saying. That's a moral issue, not a legal issue. Because the democracy we practice is still growing. And if this opinion stands, it will lead to chaos in the system. So for me, because you cannot vote for a party without a candidate, I'd rather say that it's the candidate that owns the vote, not the party. That said, sir, may I just appreciate Leonard Bessie? I've listened to him carefully, and without trying to patronize him, the truth is that this messenger aligns with his message. I followed a lot of cases. You would hardly find his name in the case that denigrates the profession. I commend you, sir, because this is a profession that is desperate to get role models, and you are one of them, and commend you for that.
Thank you, well done, sir,
and we are proud of you.
Won't you commend me, too, because I'm not a liar.
Thank you very much.
This is Ojoro.
Whether or not you hear from me, I'm always following your work.
I know.
God bless you, sir.
I know.
Thank you so much.
It's not for nothing that maybe I need to let you know that I didn't know Mr. Candy Johnson from childhood. I knew him on the job. And we've become, you know, friends. It's always nice having him around. Though we haven't had a drink together for the simple reason that he drinks whiskey and I drink water. And he says I'd be a cheap date. Imagine taking me to the choicest bar, and then he goes, can I have a double scotch? And then I say, can I have a glass of water? Make this man not go disgrace me, Jerry. Okay, we have about 2-3 minutes. Let's take another call. Hello, good morning.
Hello.
Morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yes.
Yeah, my name is Ofe.
Yes.
Yeah, can I contribute?
Well, that's why you called now.
Okay, yeah. So, please, I want to say the issue of Bayelsa. If we say party is the owner of the vote, that means they should have allowed APC to nominate another person when they disqualify the other guy.
Yeah, okay, yes. But remember that judges are not, the judgments are not the same across the board. It depends on the mind of the judge. To use the words of my late good friend Taufik Elias, when we have these discussions and I keep arguing with him, say, hey, Jimmy, you don't know the mind of the judge. Does it work that way sometimes when you have a case?
Of course, judges are human beings. You expect there to be some flexibility in their perception. But it is fundamental, as I said at the beginning, to the credibility of the type of system of justice we operate, that like cases are decided alike. It should be possible to predict that if these facts are presented, the courts will rule consistently across the board.
Yes.
These cases that we're referring to show that there is a collapse of judicial philosophy and a collapse of judicial order, because you're having judges approaching the same type of facts in different ways. This is a failure of our judicial system, and it's damaging to our polity.
Okay, so let's take five. Okay, I'll go a bit further than I did yesterday.
Uncle Jimmy, good morning.
Morning, sir. Who's calling?
This is Mr. Frank. I'm calling from Ojo-Alaba.
Yes, sir. Please go on.
Now, this governor of Ebonyi State has taken this matter to our people.
Yes.
Now, how long I want to ask the lawyer, how long is he going to last, or are they going to drag it now to the end of his tenure?
Okay, thank you. But before he answers, I think that is what everybody thinks. That's what's at the back of the mind of the man. By the time the case is decided from appeal, might go to Supreme Court. By the time all that is decided, his tenure will be over.
Yes, politicians who exploit the weakness of our judicial system often make the calculation that its inefficiency and the incompetence in the administration of the judicial system means that they can buy time.
Yes.
And they can waste time. I'm quite sure that the calculation in many political camps across many political cases is that if they can get some temporary advantage or stave off some disadvantage, that they can extend this to the end of time. Like this, in a credible judicial system, this appeal should be listed for Monday, and it should be disposed of within the next 2 days.
But it won't be.
It won't be, and that's a failure of judicial administration.
Okay. Thank you very much, Yemi Kandi Johnson. It's nice having you. I'll be back here tomorrow. The discourse tomorrow has Kayode Samuel. Kayode Samuel is a journalist and a writer of very high repute, but he was also the chief of staff to Governor Gbenga Daniel. Now there's a crisis going on in the APC, or at least in Ogun State, generally. A lot of the governor's aides have resigned. One of his commissioners, I think it was Commissioner S.A., says she wants to run for governor. And then yesterday or 2 days ago, there's some things making the round about the governor's past. I don't know. These are allegations. We don't know yet. But they seem weighty. They seem to have some proof. Anyway, I said to myself, I have one leg in Ogun, in the sense that I happen to work there for a few years. I have loads of friends who are from Ogun who are politically minded. Indeed, Gbenga Daniel himself, the governor, was friends in university and so on and so forth. So I have more than a passing interest in Ogun. So I want to bring Kayode Samuel tomorrow to come and dissect what exactly is going on and what are the things we should expect. So if you're from Ogun, you don't want to miss it. I've made special arrangements. Usually Saturday is not on YouTube and Facebook Live, but I've dragged Sherif from his vacation. And he's promised me that we'll be on both Facebook Live and YouTube tomorrow. So our Ogun listeners, just in case you don't get a good reception, then you can go to Facebook and YouTube. So tomorrow will be Mr. Kayode Samuel, and he'll be here to dissect whatever it is. The techers are here. Any minute from now, they'll come in. One more time, Yemi, thank you very much for coming. I'll see you all tomorrow at 9. Bye.
Spotlight on me. Now let me tell you this. I used to care for the world's opinion.
And I used to fear their rejection.
Or more, I used to beg for validation.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's